Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and happy Monday. Welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
On a day in which we woke up to football, we're going to go to sleep to football. We're going to have football tomorrow morning. It's going to be football not just every night, Mike Harmon. We will now have football every single day. We're going to have one afternoon slash early evening game followed by a nightcap Monday all the way through to Friday, Saturday for college football. And then we have the whole day on Sunday like normal. This is how it's going to be.
And if I got to keep watching the Cowboys, I think I'm going to need a nightcap soon.
Good Lord. This is America's team you're talking about. There are millions upon millions of people watching the Cowboys suck this much.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a heavy number. There's no question about it. It's just now you're either hate watching or you're just praying for something for your fantasy team.
Oof. Right now.
Take that, Michael Gallup.
Yeah, you lived and died a thousand deaths when he dropped that touchdown pass in the second quarter, didn't you?
Well, it's just one of those, like, we do the I Want Your Flex podcast, and sometimes there's a guy that you bring up repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And after watching Andy Dalton with Michael Gallup last week when he came on in relief of the injured Dak Prescott, it's like, here's where you put some chips. Let's put a big pile of chips on him. We had a nice pile on Christian Kirk, too. So, you know, we've got a yin and yang thing going on. But Gallup hitting would have made me feel really good, and I'd be really positive as I talked in tonight's episode of I Want Your Flex that we'll tape later on. But right now, it's all just hate watching.
Somehow, Andy Dalton, despite being 18 for 24, well, now make it 18 for 25 with an interception, as he has just been picked off. Kirkpatrick comes down with it. The Cowboys trail the Cardinals 21-3 early in the third quarter. The Cowboys' offense tonight, I can't say it's been terrible because they've moved the football. However, Ezekiel Elliott fumbles twice. The Cardinals score off of both of those. They get a big touchdown pass to Christian Kirk. It's an 80-yard touchdown. And the Cowboys look up, and it's what is happening to us. It's not that the Cowboys are terrible. I mean, look, they've run for 70 yards, and Zeke is finding some holes. They're not committing to the run as much, but now they can't because they're down by three scores. Right. But this is not – it's just been mistakes at the worst time for the Cowboys, and clearly their defense is every bit as bad as we've talked about. And the Cardinals are now on their way to what looks like it's going to be a commanding victory just because the Cowboys can't seem to do anything right. I still think, look, this division is so incredibly awful. It's so bad that even if the Cowboys lose to drop to 2-4, they're still in first place in the NFC East. Right? And the Giants, who got their first win of the season yesterday, are only one game out of first place. I mean, that's how bad it is. The Giants were 0-5 and their season is over, and they're talking about, well, do we keep Daniel Jones, or if we wind up getting the number one pick, we draft Trevor Lawrence and all these things happening. Now it's, oh, no, we can win this division, man. We got one win. We can win this division. We've had bad divisions, Mike. I mean, I get it. We had the bad season a couple years ago when the Seahawks won at 7-9,
sure.
And that was embarrassing. But top to bottom, this is just so off. I mean, I can't remember a division being this bad where we're almost at the halfway point of the season and a team's going to be 2-4 and they're going to be in first place by a half game. That's the NFC East.
Well, I think you're just going to determine it by how many starters do you have projected, all 22, that are still upright? How about that? Just because then you at least have a full-bodied staff going in, right? Philadelphia to drop like flies just when you try to start putting things together. Nope, not yet. DeSean Jackson once again. I'm not ready yet. Okay, good. And then they proceed to drop several touchdown passes or big completions from Carson Wentz. You've got the Cowboys that we're watching now. They are what they are. The Giants' offensive line's bad. They went to Freeman in the free agency market. He's a Jag. All right, there's two. It's in Washington. What else is there to say? They lost to the Giants. and had to have a furious comeback to make it a one-point game. So they're terrible. So, yeah, 5-10-1 could actually win you this division. How about
that?
The Eagles with their tie.
5-10-1. I'm hearing this is coming out now, and I have to find my sources on this, but the Jets are actually trying to petition to be included in the NFC East this year, where, depending on tonight's result, they would only be two games out of first place. So they're still right there if they can get to the NFC East.
Now, I mean, I could make the tactless joke that if a bunch of COVID outbreaks happen, they may have to shuffle divisions. Does that help you?
Oh, wow. That would be a really tactless joke in that. Wow.
Well, which is why
you're going to get struck by lightning
by saying
now. Now you're getting struck by lightning.
But in this terrible 2020, hey, man, they've come up with all sorts of randomness to keep the line moving. So that certainly is the case. I do want to stick up for Andy Dalton on that interception to Kirkpatrick. Kirkpatrick absolutely trucks CeeDee Lamb at midfield.
That should have been a pass interference call that was not thrown.
So that's why Andy Dalton was still standing on the field. For anybody that, you know, is listening to us here at Fox Sports Radio, hi, welcome in, and thanks for being part of the family. And saw Andy Dalton still standing out there, and you're yelling, "Get off the field, you dope! You threw an interception." That's what he was waiting on, for some piece of laundry as people got back up off the field.
No, he forgot what down it was.
Never came.
He forgot what down it was.
Yeah, those takes were really hot and fiery until they, like we said they would Friday, absolutely obliterated the Packers.
So we'll keep you updated on the Cowboys again. 21-3, the Cardinals have the football. They are driving. Kenyon Drake looks like he's finally getting loose a little bit. He now has 61 yards to go along with his short touchdown run as the Cardinals are in Cowboys territory now. But earlier tonight, or I can't say tonight, today, well, here in L.A., it started at 2 o'clock. On the East Coast, it started at 5 o'clock. It was really weird sitting down, getting in front of my television at 2 o'clock going, "Oh, yeah, the game is on." And turning on an NFL game, and it was a good game, obviously coming in. Chiefs and the Bills were a good game. Talking about two of the best teams in the AFC. And it was weird. I'm sitting on the couch, and my wife and I are watching the game while Zoe's still in school, doing school in the other room. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, this is weird. I feel like it's like Christmas week. When you're on vacation and you're not doing anything, and there's a bowl game on at like noon. And on a Wednesday, and you just turn it on and watch it. Oh, yeah, USC is playing Colorado State in the Sun Bowl. We're going to watch that right now. That's kind of what it felt like to 2 o'clock, we're gonna watch a bowl game because it's the middle of the day, and we got a football game on. But you know what? 2020. It's any other time, any other year, it would be, can you believe we're playing a football game on Monday afternoon? Yep, 2020. We get used to everything pretty fast. And I got to say, that was the feel I got today was – okay, well, then we got a Monday afternoon football game. We're going to have another one tonight. And it took me out of it a little bit. But then I got into it. I mean, then it seemed pretty normal. Once the game started going, we got into the second quarter. But just still, man, it's like, all day Sunday and then Mondays. I barely even started my day. And, we got a football game at 2 o'clock. It's going to take me all the way to dinner. I'm like, oh, wow. Suddenly the day is filled up.
Hey, is there a way to start a change.org petition? Forget about the division things for the Jets for the moment. Mm-hmm. Can we get this doubleheader on Mondays going forward? I'm digging this, man.
Take away the
Sunday night game, just move it to early Monday afternoon. Nobody's in the stands anyway.
Yeah, but I don't think the networks are going to like, we're going to put our game on when people are turning on TV going, that's not Wendy Williams. What the hell is this going on?
You're making a choice between Wendy Williams, General Hospital, or Kyler Murray.
Is General Hospital even still?
Yes, it is.
Operas are still on.
It's one of the greatest things of all time. They're back in production, too.
Okay. Are Luke and Laura still on?
Blackie Parrish is coming back. It's going to be beautiful.
Oh,
Vanessa Marcel's coming back. They're all coming back, baby.
Wow. Look at you. You're excited.
Of the afternoon, the kids are doing homework. What do you want from me?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think the networks are going to say, yeah, we want a game on. We want to put the defending Super Bowl champions, most exciting player in the NFL on 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday.
You know what? I was honestly surprised they didn't try to work a flop on this one. Can we please put the hapless Cowboys on earlier? I know they were America's team. That day is gone. Come on. It's Patrick Mahomes.
Cowboys could be 0-7. It wouldn't matter. Everybody. The Cowboys and the Yankees, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how bad they are. Are they a train wreck? Everybody wants to watch.
I'm not getting nearly enough booth shots tonight, by the way.
What'd you say?
I'm not getting nearly enough booth shots right now for all the misery.
Well,
where's Jerry at?
Well, I think maybe Jerry Jones has said, listen, no camera work until the third quarter, and then only if we're winning. And if we're not winning, I'm not going to be in the booth anyway. So yeah, there you go. Good luck. Good luck, ESPN. the thing is, with the game today, right, watching the Chiefs outlast the Bills in a game that – as dominant as the Chiefs were, and here's the funny thing about the game today. As dominant as they were, the Bills were very happy to play the game that way. All right, Kansas City wins 26-17, and in it, of course, a big story. Look at what they did. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire runs for 160 yards. They run for 245 as a team. They're gaining 5 yards every single time they run the football. It was look how dominant the Chiefs are. Yeah, but then look at the middle of the fourth quarter when it was 23-17 and the Bills had the football. All right, when you can take the Kansas City Chiefs and say, all right, yeah, not that they wanted them to run the football, but when they get lulled into that, and that's not who the Chiefs are. This should have been a 40-17 game in the fourth quarter. And sure, the weather had a little bit to do with it because it was rainy, but nothing has ever stopped Patrick Mahomes before. A little bit of rain shouldn't have done that. But like the Chiefs got lulled into, well, we can run for 5 yards a pop every single time. I don't know why we don't do it. Well, when you run for 5 yards a pop, you got to convert a lot of third downs. And eventually you're going to get to a third down in the drive where you don't convert and you're going to have to punt. You're going to say, boy, that was really weird for us. And the Chiefs did not score a lot of points. And had the Bills had a better rushing attack or been able to keep the ball away from the Chiefs a little bit, they would have won this game. I mean, this was a blueprint on how do you beat the Chiefs and in the playoffs when things are going on, right? And you can talk defensively all you want about, we have to make sure we push Mahomes to the middle of the field and have, you know, athletic defensive ends and athletic defensive line that doesn't let them get outside and funnels them towards the middle, because that's clearly what's worked before. But if you can take them away from who they are, a lightning strike chunk yardage team that suddenly you can look up and you're down 21 points and the game is over, you made the Chiefs grind this one out.
Yep.
And you not that you're going to allow them to get 5 yards a carry, but if they run the football, well, look at what happened. They got away from who they were, and while it looked dominant, it was still a one score game, and the Bills, had they had anything going on at all on offense, they would have been able to win this football game. And look, the Bills are a good team, but you can still see they're limited when it comes to the best of the best teams in the NFL. They still don't have enough offense, just not quite enough firepower, not quite enough playmakers. For the AFC East is fine, but for the rest of the big contenders, it's a big deal. But you took the Chiefs away and said, go ahead, we are happy with you running the football. A team that could have done a little bit more on offense beats the Chiefs. And a lot of teams, I guarantee you, saw this game today and said, okay, we want to make them think they can run the football. And then we let them do that all day long, and then suddenly it's the middle of the fourth quarter and it feels like they're dominating, but it's a one score game and we are within one score of them and we can pull this off because we have a better offense than a team like the Bills does. This is a big blueprint today, even though the Chiefs should have won this game by three touchdowns.
Yeah, going on both sides, right? Because we've seen Tennessee and now Kansas City make Josh Allen look human after that great first month. People are jumping off the bandwagon like rats from a burning or sinking ship, whichever visual you want. Total yards, 466 to 206. But it's just like when we were asking the question about penalties, right? Long, protracted drives, what kills you? A holding penalty, a false start penalty. All those things make it that much more difficult and greatly decrease the likelihood that you're finding points at the end of your drive. For the Bills, great job of keeping everything in front of them, right? You didn't have those big plays. A couple of great catches by Kelsey, a couple of big yak kind of situations, off-screen passes, and obviously Edwards-Helaire had himself a great game saying, stay away, Le'Veon Bell, it's my job. Beat it. But they did a good job overall, and it's a one-score game, and early on, Mahomes put a couple of balls up for grabs. That's why you play defense. You don't catch those balls. Because they should have had a couple of picks on him early. You know, if everybody's going to go and bash Josh Allen for a couple of errant throws, which, look, he made a few mistakes, and obviously you have the interception at the end that is just a desperation toss. But Kelce with the fumble, trying to take advantage of that. But, you know, Mahomes put the ball in harm's way too. Just lived to see another down and then made the Bills pay. And they ground up clock and they're able to move. So it's just for Singletary and Zach Moss coming back off the injured list. You know, when Josh Allen is your only real effective runner, that's a problem. And that's something that's been there for the Bills all season long, that if they don't rectify, this hot start is going to go away really fast, even in the rough and tumble AFC East.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. It is rough and tumble. I'm telling you, wait till the Jets move to the NFC East to give them a chance. You just watch what happens. They'll trade for people at the deadline. It's going to be great. They'll get Matt Ryan. They'll get all great players. And suddenly, hey, the Jets are good. Hey, we move them to the NFC East. It's working out great.
Well, they did make a trade today. So that was good.
Right after the game, they made a trade.
Yeah. Right after the game. Within several minutes, it gets completed.
Yeah.
As soon as that Green Bay Tampa game went final. Got back to the locker room. It's like, hey, we just acquired a new guy. Great.
Yeah. And Steve McClendon, who the Jets traded right after the game, I read today, he just got right in a car and went and drove from Miami to Tampa.
Yeah.
I don't need to get any of my stuff, man. You keep it. I don't need it. You guys are such a train wreck. I'm picturing driving down the road like Jerry Maguire when he goes to Kush, and Kush is going to stay with him, and he's trying to sing along to all the songs on the radio, and he finally gets to Free Fall, and he starts singing Free Fall at the top of his lungs. He's so excited.
But just think about
McClendon.
Any guy that gets traded or signed or whatever, they always take their gear and they're handing it out to their friends and family. You know, here's all the Jets. You know, team-issued stuff. That's all just sitting in boxes. McClendon never wanted it.
He's driving around. He's there, that Leonard Burns. Oh, yeah. And I'm free. 877-99 on Fox. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Now, let me tell you. Last week, going to be in the books. Now it's time to review the tape and prepare for this week. No better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now, because you don't want to miss it. Draft your lineup, feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. This is your call to action. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now and use the code JS. That's my initials, JS. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on the Week 7 action. Enter code JS to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code JS only at DraftKings. Make it rain, REIGN. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Well, give another touchdown to the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray runs in from a couple yards out. Make it a 28-3 win. By the Cardinals. It's over. I'm calling it. Six and a half minutes to go in the third quarter.
Stop the fight.
It's over. I'm calling it. Cardinals now up 28-3 over the Cowboys. We will, of course, keep you updated on this. More Week 6 reaction from the NFL. One storyline is clear as day that's going to happen the rest of this season. Plus, we'll give you our World Series picks, our official World Series picks, coming up next right here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. Midway through the third quarter, and I think the last time the Cardinals beat the Cowboys like this was, in fact, in Jerry Maguire. I think it was in that game they showed. I think Dave Craig was playing quarterback for the Cardinals in that game. I think Rob Moore was Rod Tidwell.
Right now,
the Cardinals lead the Cowboys 28-3 with just under 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. Kyler Murray has thrown for two touchdowns. He's also run for a touchdown and 67 yards on the ground. It has been a complete Cardinals effort. This is the team they were the first couple weeks of the season. And my goodness, the Dallas Cowboys, not just losing, but getting thumped. But they've been their own worst enemy. They've turned the football over early. Their problem is they don't start games well at all. And you would, and I really thought coming into this week, all right, we're going to see a different Cowboy team, right? I told you, we're going to see the Cowboys figure out their identity. They're going to run the football more. You're going to see more Zeke, and Andy Dalton's going to tack down the field. He's got a lot of weapons. It's going to be that way. And instead, it's been the same thing. The Cowboys have made the same mistakes, played the same game, regardless when you have what should have been an attention-getting injury to the rest of your team, the boy. A guy we were counting on for all of our offense is gone. We all have to step up, and instead, it's been the same thing. I was really disappointed with how the Cowboys answered the bell tonight to this game when the Cardinals came in, and it's been easy. It's not even been like it's been a lot of resistance. It's been easy for the Cardinals tonight.
Old rule of thumb in football, what is it, 83%, 80%, whatever the number is these days. It's the bottom line is you turn the ball over, you lose. That's football in a nutshell. All the rules, all of the plays, all of the analysis, throw it in a big box and put it in the garage. You don't need it. Turnovers decide who wins and loses flipping football games. So as soon as Ezekiel Elliott put the ball on the ground twice, you're done. You're cooked. You might as well put your helmets up on the little rack and walk away. I mean, that interception with Kirkpatrick and CeeDee Lamb, that's icing on the cake. The two giveaways earlier, that tells you exactly where you are. If you can't clean that up, then you're going to lose, and you're going to lose handily, and your guys are going to quit. And that's what you saw on the Christian Kirk play. Come on. I know he's fast, and it's funny because they had just done a thing on Bullet Bob Hayes. On the broadcast, and they come out of the graphic, and all of a sudden this guy's sprinting like a kid through a flower field. Just terrible, terrible fundamentals. But all in all, the basics of football, don't turn the damn ball over. That's it. That's my stump speech for tonight. Oh, and you had a good run, Mike McCarthy. What a joke show he's running.
Cardinals with the lead again, 28-3. They have the football, 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. Still a lot of time. They're winning this game by nearly four touchdowns, despite the fact DeAndre Hopkins has one catch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how embarrassing it is for the Cowboys. DeAndre Hopkins has one catch.
They did a good job of stopping him.
25 points. I mean, that's amazing.
Well, I mean, you look at overall the passing numbers. I mean, for Kyler Murray, he's got the 80-yard touchdown strike. That beefs it up. His completion percentage is horrid. He's not been great, but you know what? You have to be you have to have a pulse, and you score against this team.
Well, you know what would be a good game would be the Jets and the Cowboys. What's worse, the Cowboys defense or the Jets offense? That's irresistible force meets immovable object. That would be something. Could the Jets even score against this defense?
That might be the first game nobody watches.
Seriously, after Sunday, look, and we had a big separation on Sunday that clearly now the rest of the season is going to be, okay, the New York Jets clearly are the front runners for the number one overall pick, and Trevor Lawrence, and everything is going to be, you're coming out, right, Trevor? You're good with coming to New York, right, Trevor? I mean, after yesterday, we saw the two other winless teams win. We told you they were going to win on Friday night.
Yeah, we did.
We told you both these teams are going to win. The Jets are going to be the only winless team, and clearly they have given up, they've quit, they've done all of these things, and I see stuff like, why isn't Adam Gase fired? Well, because now it's too late. Now you do nothing but bring the Jets together if you fired Adam Gase. Clearly the best thing for this football franchise is to lose the rest of their games, yeah. Go 0-16 or 1-15, whatever it is, and get Trevor Lawrence with the number one overall pick in the draft. That is the only way, because they have bad players, they have bad coaching on both sides of the ball. It's embarrassing. Every week it's like, let's see if we can top how embarrassing we were a week ago. I know, a shutout loss to the Dolphins, and you get quotes like Frank Gore at the end of the game being mad, going, we can't wait till the fourth quarter to get our offense started. You scored no points. What did you get started in the fourth? You had no points.
Hey,
it's not like
throw
it's
in
like
a couple
you were down 24-0
to show you
and you
care.
Scored You didn't score three touchdowns in the fourth quarter and say, oh, we made it close. You still had no points in the entire game. And he's saying, we can't wait till the fourth quarter to get our offense going. I mean, really, if I said to you, if I made you bet, Mike Harmon, I know you made some money last year in Coastal Carolina. If I made
now
you
ranked take, Coastal Carolina.
If I gave you, if I said, okay, you got to take all your winnings from Coastal Carolina and bet that the Jets are either going to go 0-16 or they win at least one game. And you know, it doesn't matter how many they win, as long as they win one. If you bet 0-16 or they win a game, what would you bet?
I think you try for 0-16 at this point.
They agree because they are not going to beat anyone. I mean, yes, you could say, well, you know, 3-13. No, this team is so bad. They only have two or three players who could start on any other team in the NFL. And that's embarrassing. All right, Mekhi Becton could start on any other team. He's been hurt the last couple weeks. He's terrific. All right, maybe Quinnen Williams could start on the team. Maybe he could. Marcus may be able to start another team.
No, those are three guys. Those are legit.
But maybe they could. I mean, because they started out, but maybe they could. And Jamison Crowder. That's it. Those are the only players the Jets have, you could say, could they start on another team? Not the best teams, even the worst teams, even the teams that are 1-5. How many players do they have? They're so bad. I mean, I don't see there being any way they can win another game. They got the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Patriots the next 3 weeks. Those are all three losses. The Chargers are struggling. They're going to win that by four touchdowns. Then it's Dolphins, Raiders, Seahawks, Rams, Browns, Patriots. You tell me a game where a team's not going to show up, where suddenly the Jets playing under Adam Gase and Greg Williams are going to show up and win? I mean, really, if you told me the Jets were going to forfeit the rest of the season, hey, I would say good. Because this is you talk about what looks like a long time standing in front of you. The next 10 weeks for the Jets, oh, that's a long time. And I'm watching the game stressed. Because you know why? Here's why I'm watching the game stressed, Mike. Because this is how crazy it is. Because normally I watch the games with the fun, like the fun stress. You know, fun sports stress. I watch with the fun sports stress when they have good seasons. I mean, it's been a while. But like you think, oh, this is a big game and we can take
sure,
over first place or we can do this.
Yeah.
You get that. Now, I watch the games going, man, if we win this week, we could really screw ourselves and not get tricked. Because now, what's the point in winning? When the Giants have now won, the Falcons have won, oh, what's the point? Now I watch going, oh, man, if they win this game. Oh, my God, if they win this game. So I watch that with stress. Like, I want them to do well. I like when they do well. But at the same time, I'm like, it doesn't serve them any purpose to win. It serves them no purpose. Now they're going to do is screw up Trevor Lawrence somehow. And they're not going to get him. He's not going to want to come. Something's going to happen. So now, even when it's they have no expectation, I still watch with stress because they got to get Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm still seeing all the notes in my social media sphere and column articles that get sent to me and talking points for people saying, well, why haven't they fired him yet? It's like, well, what's the point? Right? And once you got into the second quarter of the season, that ship sailed. Right? These other teams that fired their coaches, there's expectations for them. Right? For Houston coming in, yeah, they lost DeAndre Hopkins, but in that division, they were expected to compete alongside the Tennessee Titans, maybe have themselves a little bit of a run, that you still had the quarterback and the offense that could get things done and be competitive. For the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC South, sure, everybody started to gravitate towards Brady. People jumped on the back of folks that in week one said, hey, Drew Brees isn't the same guy now, is he? And you see that they're an uneven team, and they'll be coming back out of the bye week, and we'll see where that goes. So, yeah, Atlanta, with all those offensive weapons and bringing in Todd Gurley, there were expectations. For the Jets, what are the expectations? Maybe you got to 5 wins. If things broke completely in your favor, you were looking to be a 5-win team, right? I mean, when you sat down and did the schedule thing like everybody does with their favorite team, you said, maybe. Is Tua playing? Maybe we can get after him a little bit. Or maybe we get the bad Fitzpatrick game. But instead,
let's get that one bad one, that one bad one.
Right, the one that sends him back to the shelf. And now he's on the sideline cheering for Tua when Tua comes into the game. So you got a very strange and cool dynamic happening there and a team that plays hard. But now what's your hope? Your hope is to lose.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
There's nothing to see. You keep Becton in a protected bubble. You keep Sam Darnold in a protected bubble because someone's still going to give you a second-round pick for him, maybe a late first, depending on the squad. And you move forward. You get draft picks just like you did here. hey, you want to go? Bye. Take care of yourself.
But that's it. I mean, I need them to lose. It's like I'm hate watching them to lose. That's how it is. No matter how bad, okay, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Get that number one pick now. It's going to be 10 weeks of watching that way. Being
You're
nervous
like,
that, oh, what are we doing? Why are they giving Tua his first start against us? What if the Jets confuse him? What if they do something? We can't do this.
Greg Williams blitzing the hell out of him because he's all pissed off. Take that!
Like what are we doing?
Like he's going to be on the sidelines in a robe like he's Palpatine. Blitz! I mean, that's where we're getting here. But I do love, and Frostberg just texted me going, man, him hate watching the Jets is fantastic.
Oh, it's
so we need video of this going forward.
If we can make money, I can make money for charity, come hate watch the Jets with me. I think people would say, oh, I got my money's worth on that one.
Oh, to watch you lose your mind for 3 hours?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Especially if you're drinking?
Yeah, but here's the other thing, too, is you have to be okay with profanity. Okay, I mean like Wolf of Wall Street level profanity. You have to be okay with that.
You were watching that in the commercial breaks of the early game, weren't you?
You don't, because
it was on TV. I saw it.
You don't know what I said when Joe Flacco lost 28 yards on the sack. You don't want to know what I said at that point. I'm like, we got to have another bleep and butt fumble. We lost 28 yards on a sack. I mean, really? People saw that on the when you check the stats like on Sunday for fantasy. You see something, and something crazy comes up, like Matthew Stafford passed to Marvin Jones for minus 88 yards, and you're like, what? Okay, well, clearly that's a mistake. And you see, you know, Matthew Stafford passed to passed to Marvin Jones for 8 yards. Okay, it corrected itself, right? Because you see something. When you see Joe Flacco sacked for minus 28 yards, that's when you're hitting refresh going, all right, they're gonna correct that. It's going to be minus 8 yards, right? Or minus 2 yards. Or, oh, no, minus 28. No, it's minus 28 yards. That was it. Watched him fade back and think he can outrun defensive linemen like he's 25 years old.
Well, and then you celebrate the fact in that moment that Joe Flacco ran 28 yards.
Remember when Flacco signed with the Jets because he was going to jumpstart his career and try to start somewhere else? I'm going to go here for a year, and I'm going to help Sam and maybe play. Then I'm going to start somewhere else. That was Joe Flacco.
Listen to you. So...
I'm like De Niro in Cape Fear, just laughing.
In the middle of the theater and smoking a cigar and cackling like a madman.
Oh, boy. That was, I'm telling you, 0-16, Trevor Lawrence, here we come.
You know what, though? We were talking about it the other day, about the AMC theater and renting out, you know, to watch different movies. Can we do that to watch a Jets game and invite 20 fans? Of the show?
Oh, yeah, we could do that.
Hey, can you guys hook this up so we can watch it?
Oh, yeah, who do you want to watch? Like the Chiefs or the Seahawks? No, the Jets. The Jets. You know what? Just take the theater for free. Don't worry about it then.
We have to go one place, though, that they sell alcohol. Because without alcohol, getting it done.
No, you just bring it in like you did in high school. Sorry, I'm not condoning this. I'm just telling stories.
I once brought in giant jugs of the little bottles of vodka and giant jugs of orange juice to a showing of The Phantom Menace. It made it palatable.
There's nothing like being in one of those movies on a Friday night and you hear like someone kick over the empty bottle and you just hear it roll all the way down and you're just going...
The slow roll.
Yeah, you just hear it roll and the person who kicked it's going, oh, just hit the back of a seat already. Come on, just hit the back of a seat. Just do it. Just do it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Cardinals knocking on the door again. They lead the Cowboys 28-3. We'll have more on this game coming up in a few minutes. Quick reminder, though, on November 6th and 7th, the world's best thoroughbreds will compete in 14 exhilarating races worth $31 million in purses and awards at the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Learn more about the Breeders' Cup World Championships at breederscup.com/2020. That's breederscup.com/2020. One of the big topics of conversation today, Mike, came off of a game, one of the big games yesterday. The Steelers absolutely thumped the Cleveland Browns. And again, on Friday night, we told you this was going to happen.
Correct.
The Steelers were going to beat the Browns. It was going to be a reality check week for the Browns, but it's not going to be bad. Look, they're 4-1. Everything is great. The Browns are happy. They're playing against a loaded Steelers team, and the Steelers defense finally showed up. This defense I thought we were going to see week one, we're now seeing in week five. The Steelers are 5-0. They're loaded. There is no shame losing this game. But all day today it's been Baker Mayfield's done. Brown's got to move on from Baker Mayfield. He stinks. He can't get it done. Time out for a second. You know, the honest reality with the Browns is Baker Mayfield is fine. Okay, it's 1 week. They're 4-2. All right, this isn't 2019. He is asked to do a lot less with the Browns this year. Yes, because it's not what they thought he was when they drafted him, but they have adjusted really well. Kevin Stefanski's done a phenomenal job saying, okay, this is the team we need to be to win, where we cut back the throwing from Baker Mayfield and we concentrate more on sledgehammering the ball down the field with our running backs and utilizing our playmakers. This is how the Browns have reinvented themselves in one offseason. And it's fine. Mayfield's been good. I mean, you look at his games. He has had three pretty good games. He's had a couple that were really bad. But in the end, are you talking about the Super Bowl? You're 4-2. You're just trying to make the playoffs. And Baker Mayfield can get you there. His issue is he's not going to live up to being the number one overall pick in the draft. That's a thing, and I understand that. But to sit here and say, oh, let's cast him to the side, he's got 10 touchdowns and 6 picks. He's absolutely fine, right? He's on pace to throw 30 touchdowns this year. He's going to be absolutely fine, and the Browns will be fine. He's just not the guy they thought he was, but it doesn't mean they can't win. Once in a while, you're either going to be the hammer or you're going to be the nail. And Sunday, the Browns were the nail, and Mayfield was bad. There's nobody else that's going to get them to play the way they are. There's going to be really good weeks. They have the soft part of the schedule coming up. There will be just fine. They'll be in it for the playoffs to the end. No. Is Mayfield the guy they thought he was? No. But he's not terrible, and let's chuck him to the curb. They can still play well. He's played well enough this season. I think Mayfield's fine.
He's going to throw into mistakes. That's what he does. And you know what? They played arguably, what, top three defense? As we broke it down in full on Friday night, Steelers, a very good team, heard about it all week. Here's the Browns. Not to mention they were still pissed off because of the Myles Garrett thing of last season. Right? So that's still hanging in the background. And for Cleveland's purposes, you look at what they've been through the first part of the season, run the football, and they've churned out a lot of turnovers on defense, even with a banged-up secondary, which guys will eventually get healthy. Myles Garrett and company, that front seven, they've generated a lot of turnovers. You know what they didn't do on Sunday? Like I was yelling in this game, you didn't generate turnovers. You lose. So get back to basics, get back to running the football, and once Nick Chubb's healthy, things get set properly once again.
Yeah, I don't know why people are suddenly, it's not like the Browns are a team that you think, well, they're an obvious Super Bowl favorite and they got problems at quarterback. No, I think everybody is happy as hell. They're 4-2. Hey, we're fine. Everything is good. This is the best start we've had in years.
No, if we can't have this argument, you have to riddle me this. Who's the MVP?
Adam Gase is the MVP. He's going to wind up getting the Jets' Trevor Lawrence. He's the MVP. Baker's fine. More from the NFL coming up next right here. Fox.